We often talk about nonprofits as 501c3s. That designation comes from the IRS code that allows tax-exempt and other status for nonprofits. Even before President Trump took office, part of that code that prohibits 501c3s from participating in candidate campaigns, the Johnson Amendment, has been in his scopes. None so much as last week with his executive order and a congressional hearing. While the law still remains unchanged, threats to it and federal funding have nonprofits focusing on advocacy. Tim Delaney is president and chief executive officer of the National Council on Nonprofits. He's in Honolulu this week for the Hawaii Alliance of Nonprofits Town Hall. Tim Delaney joins us now. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much, Beth. I'm delighted to be here in the land of paradise.
Well, your organization helps states focus on policy issues both at the state level and certainly at the federal levels. You have six areas that you've been spotlighting: spending priorities, tax reform and charitable giving incentives, health care reform, nonprofit independence, nonprofit nonpartisanship, and regulatory reform. That's quite a big package. But it seems at the moment that spending priorities and the threat to nonprofit nonpartisanship would be at the top of that list, are they?
Absolutely. Each of those six is a hot item that we are working on, again, at both the federal and the state level because they interact so much. But of those six right now, probably the hottest two are the spending priorities and then secondly, the Johnson Amendment, there, the threats there too that are attempting to politicize the nonprofit community.
So many nonprofits rely on federal dollars streaming through the state and winding up in their coffers. We're looking at threats to Medicaid funding, the expansion that was done under the ACA. So much of this is tied together, as you say. What particularly do you think that nonprofits really should be looking at this time around when we've had, you know, other situations where they might be threatened? But this time seems to feel different. What do you tell them this time?
The importance of coming together as a community to rally to use our voices. We cannot afford to sit on the policy sidelines anymore. We need to use our voices. We're seeing through a lot of different activity this spring, for example, on the attempt to replace the Affordable Care Act. The initial attempt to do that was forestalled because people were speaking up across America to say no. Similarly, I think people need to be using their voices on these proposed cuts that are not just general cuts. This would be cutting approximately 10% of the entire federal government on domestic programming, really then hits individuals in their day-to-day lives. Most people are not aware that the extent to which the federal and state budgets are intertwined. The states, on average, receive 30.1% of all their revenue from the federal government. And so even state budgets then will be impacted if these federal cuts occur, and then local budgets will be hurt. And so everyone will be asked to do so much more for so many more with so much less, then it will create real pain out in the community.
As you have been putting out this rallying call for nonprofits, some people might be confused when they hear nonprofits being asked to come together and to advocate on their behalf in certain ways. You're talking about an advocacy that's very different than being involved in a political campaign and sort of that nexus of what we began to talk about with the Johnson Amendment. There are a lot of people who really don't understand that part of the 501c3 code. Can you give a small primer just to make it really clear what is and isn't permissible?
Sure. Under 501c3, that is the component of the federal tax code that says that certain organizations, such as those that are charitable, religious, educational, etc., can both enjoy federal income tax exemption plus the ability to receive tax-deductible contributions, which is a very important thing. In exchange for that special status, we actually have to do three things. First, we cannot, by law, pay out any profits. hence our name, nonprofits. Cool. Second, we cannot engage in a lot of lobbying activities. No substantial part of our activities can be for lobbying. No substantial part is actually never been defined, but most organizations will never come close to the limits. The third component, which was added in 1954, says that nonprofit organizations cannot engage in partisan electioneering on behalf of or in opposition to a candidate for public office.
And that's the part that the Johnson Amendment that we have been talking about of late and that we saw targeted last week and even in February when a lot of this began to come into the public consciousness. As you look at the rallying that you've been asking of your constituents, in what way do you want them to talk about this in the practical terms that people need to understand when you talk about having 10% of a budget that is 30% of a state budget becoming slashed?
Well, let's talk about the advocacy around the two different issues. One, on the proposed budget cuts at the federal level. That's where organizations in Hawaii can be working through the Hawaii Association of Nonprofit Organizations, sometimes referred to as HANO, to lift their voices at the federal level, but also be talking to your elected federal representatives here. Showing up on radio programs like this or letters to the editor, just using your own voice to say how harmful it would be to inform those elected officials so that they make it a wise decision. With respect to the Johnson Amendment, there are proposals to repeal it entirely as well as to substantially weaken it, and we need to let our elected officials know how painful that would be. This has worked for 60-plus years, and the attempts to just rip it away right now would politicize and weaponize nonprofits, churches, foundations, and that's not what we were created for.
When we talk about, you know, weaponizing and politicizing, clearly that's already been done in the way we're having some of these discussions that we're seeing coming from the federal government. Those threats, at least that we've seen in Congress, haven't gone anywhere. But you're saying that, especially given this political climate, no one should rely on that or take any comfort in that because we are dealing with a very changed political climate.
Absolutely. And just look at last Thursday. There was a coordinated attack on the Johnson Amendment by the White House and by members of Congress. 55 members of Congress have co-sponsored a piece of legislation to substantially weaken the Johnson Amendment. The chair of the House Ways and Means Committee has said that he wants to put repeal into the Comprehensive Tax Reform Bill. So these are not idle threats. These are live threats to politicize us. And let me just speak for a moment on the consequences. And we'll just invite your listeners to think ahead and imagine a world in which nonprofits were partisan. And if you were all of a sudden asked to be the Republican Party YMCA or the Democratic Party YMCA, and how harmful that would be, or the Democratic Baptist Church versus the Republican Baptist Church.
And we have a historical example of what happened when we saw a church out there that I'm thinking about back into the 90s when there was the Bill Clinton full-page ad that was sponsored by a church that was asking for its political contributions.
And that is, in fact, one of the very rare instances when the IRS has actually enforced that provision of the anti-electioneering law that is known as the Johnson Amendment. And so it's rare for the IRS to actually enforce. And so to have partisans right now trying to take that limitation away and say that a subsection of the nonprofit community, just the religious groups and not charitable nonprofits or educational or others, can then engage in electioneering on behalf of or opposing to a candidate is very problematic.
I wish we had more time to talk.
Me too.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Beth Ann. And I encourage everyone to get involved in the Hawaii Association, the Hawaii Alliance of Nonprofit Organizations.
Well, Let me first tell everyone who you are. Tim Bellany is an attorney and policy advocate who has successfully argued in the U.S. Supreme Court, testified before Congress, and negotiated in the White House. He now heads America's largest network of nonprofits, the National Council of Nonprofits. He's in Honolulu this week for the Hawaii Alliance of Nonprofit Organizations Town Hall on Thursday.